This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, whatever you say. Shalom Aleichem. Okay, today, we're going to talk about kings and humility. Some of these ideas we've certainly discussed before, but I think it's an interesting combination. And I think we'll get mileage out of it. Sfatem says in Parshas Bamidbar, he says, Ki masha nitan ha-Torah Bamidbar dafka ha-kidei lahamshich or Torah aflamakam tohu. The idea that the Torah was given in the Midbar is to show us that the intent of the Torah is to bring light even to a place that appears at first glance to be desolate. Gizeya kavanas briyas adam lahayir al yedi or nishmaso gam bagashmius. As man confronts, this is a theme that the Sfasemis goes over endlessly. Every situation that a person confronts, every event, every object, every relationship, pleasant or we should always be spared, maybe perhaps not so pleasant. The ultimate goal is that a person should reveal the kernel of light that is hidden inside of all the sheaths of the mundane world. Difficult situations, etc. There's always a kernel of light that's meant to be revealed. And each person, the nimsa yesh l'chol prat hester miyuchad. Right? Each person has his own unique capacity to reveal that light. And each event, object, experience, etc. has the unique light to be revealed. So that when one person's almost spiritual magnetism, as it were, one person with his unique nature-nurture combination comes into contact with anything, there is that which, he's meant to reveal out of that given object, meeting with that object, person, experience, etc. And that's something that we've said over and over again from the Shlo, that Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Riba Otsios LaTorah. 600,000 root souls, 600,000 root letters. Okay, this is an idea we've discussed before. Further, Valoschos HaNeiros. This also in years past we've talked about the idea. Rashi tells us that the terminology Bahaloscha as opposed to Bahadlakoscha, which it should be, says Rashi, Loshan Aliyah Shitzarach Hadlik Achite Shalheves Olame Leha. One has to light until the Shalheves, until the flame rises on its own. Says the Sfasemis, once again, this is an idea that we're familiar with, but it's important to look at it again. Sfasemis tells us, Spirashi Shitia Shalheves Olame Leha, Kibichol Dover Yishinakuda Chius Meshem Isbrach, as we said. Rakshakol toli ba'avodas ha'odam lo'orer hislav uslahatos hakol Hashem Yisborach. Everything is dependent upon the person to awaken the flame that's found in each thing and turn it towards what Hashem wanted to be revealed over here. Ki kifi rotzon v'cheshek ha'odam lo'orer rotzon b'chol ha'dvarim shekfuyim tachas yado v'him b'rshusa. This is a fascinating thing. He's adding a new point over here, the Sfasemis. He's saying, you hold it, it's based upon the Rashi, you hold it until it's all the Me'ale. In other words, the revelation of the Ratzon Hashem, of what is meant to be revealed from this, and specifically what's meant to be revealed from object, experience, action, event, etc., through specifically me, requires that my hand be there until the flame rises, as is known. In other words, this is, I don't want to be negative, but this is an indictment of doing mitzvah anoshim milumoda, doing things by rote. You do it in order that you put your heart and soul into it. You hold your connection to it until the shalhevis rises on its own. It's keeping you taking a settling torch, and you're trying to cut through layers and layers and layers of thick metal until you reveal, right? You break open into the inside of the safe, and there inside of the safe are the diamonds. Inside of the safe is the gold. You hold your hand there until the shalhevis is olam ha'ela. Point one. Further on in the parsha, uv'yom hakim et hamishkan, kisa anan es hamishkan, la'ol ha'idus v'erev yal hamishkan kimare esh ad boker. The cloud that showed the divine presence resting upon the Mishkan during the day and the fire at night. Kein ye tamid ha'anan yichasenu mar'ei esh laila. And that's the way it was all the time they traveled. Ulefi ha'alos ha'anan mi'al ha'oel. And when the anan would rise up off the oil, v'achrei chen yisu b'nei Yisrael, then the Jewish people would travel. V'makom asher yishkan sham anan, where the anan would come to rest, sham yachanu b'nei Yisrael. That's where they would encamp. In other words, the anan helped determine, we'll see that there's several factors involved here, but the Anan was the first factor that determined when they would travel and when would they encamp. Continue the Pasuk. Al pi Hashem yisuv b'nei Yisrael, al pi Hashem yachanu. Upon the word of Hashem did they travel, upon the word of Hashem did they encamp. Kol yimei asher yishkan Anan al ha-mishkan yachanu. As long as the Anan remained upon the Mishkan, they encamped there. When it moved, then it knew it was time to leave. Ubaricha Anan ala Mishkan yamim rabim v'shamu b'nei Yisrael es mishmeres Hashem v'lo yisal. This was their job description. This was their mishmeres. This was their watch. That they traveled when they were supposed to travel, and they encamped when they were supposed to encamp. Says Rashi, al pi Hashem yisu, Shaninu b'melechas ha-mishkan, the Braisa, that talks about b'melechas ha-mishkan. Kev shoy Yisrael nosim, haya amud ha-anan miskapel v'nimshach al gabi b'nei Yehuda. When it came time for the Jewish people to travel, the Anan, as it would, fold itself up, and it would place itself al gabi b'nei Yehuda, first of the Shvatim to lead the procession through the Midbar. Kimin Korah, standing there straight, like a beam. Toku v'yriu v'toku. And then they blew the blast on the Chatzotros, which we'll see. V'lohaya mahalech. And still, right, they did not go. Ad shemoshe omer kuma Hashem. V'nasa degel machane Yehuda. Zuba Sifri. So Rashi's combining two different sources. And it tells us that there were l'chora three factors involved in the traveling. There was the movement of the Anan over to Shevet Yehuda as it stood there like a great beam. And then there was the blast on the Chatzotros, Tkia, Trua Tkia on the Chatzotros, on the trumpets, the silver trumpets. And then Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu evecha. Right? V'hi bin Zohar Oron, v'yom Moshe. Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu evecha, v'yanusa misanecha mipanecha. Continues Rashi, al pi Hashem, kim et ha-Yisrael chonim, amud ha-anan, metame v'ole, v'nimshach al-gabi b'nei Yehuda, kim in Sukkah. When it was time to encamp, so then the amud, which was like a pillar before, now spread out like a sukkah, covering, v'yanifras, Ad Shemoshe, but it didn't completely cover over, I'd say, the Mishkan. Ad Shemoshe Omer Shuva Hashem Ruvos Alfei Yisrael. Until Moshe Rabbeinu said that Hashem should come to rest upon the multitudes, the 22,000 of Israel, Havi Omer Api Hashem Yad Moshe. So that's the idea over here, that when the Psukim tell us Api Hashem Yad Moshe, that's the combination. Hashem would cause the Anan to either form as a pillar, as opposed to being spread it over the Mishkan, or it would move Rikwot and spread it over the Bnei Yehuda, etc., if it's time to encamp. And Moshe Rabbeinu then had to give the word, either Kum Hashem Yefutz Oyvecha, or Shuv Yisrael, right? Shuv Hashem Rivos Alfei Yisrael. So really, as we noted before, there appeared to be three things involved. There was the act by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was the Chatzotzros, the blasts, Tzkiah Tzua Tzkiah from the Chatzotzros, from the silver trumpets. And then there was Moshe Rabbeinu making his statement. Says the Or HaChaim, Al-Pi Hashem Yusuf B'nei Yisrael, Ranan, right? Kol Yimei, at all the days that they were meant to stay in a certain place, they stayed there, they didn't leave. Ubarich, and sometimes they'd be a long time, sometimes they'd be a short amount of time. Ba'akos v'sader, kol b'chinos hanhagos ha'anon. Psukim explained to us, right? All the way that Hashem designed their travelings based upon the anon. L'ameit, Shvachon Shel Yisrael. This is to the glorification of the Jewish people, the praise of the Jewish people. Shayu Chafetzim Basher Yachvot Hashem. In other words, their reaction was whatever Hashem wants. The Hischil Beinyan Arichus Zman Achaniya VaOmar Chanoya Kol Zman Asher Yishkon Anan Yachanu Perush Yachanu Yichpatzu Lachanos. And it says Api Hashem Yisu Api Hashem Yachanu. Right, nasu, alpi Hashem, chanu. In other words, if Hashem, their reaction was, alpi Hashem yisu. If Hashem wants us to go, then that's what we need to be doing is going. There was no, as it were, conflict. Alpi Hashem yachnu. If Hashem wants us to encamp, then this is what we need to do. We need to encamp. Not that okay, we're encamping. This is what we want. Perush yachnu yechbatzu lachanos. So is Medayik the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. In other words, accustoming oneself to relating to the events of life in a way which is, if this is Ratz Hashem, then this is what we need to do. This is where we have to, this is what we, our job description is now. No, like you're cramping my style. You're cramping my style. Not to live in two separate. We know also in this week's Parsha that the Kivrus HaTava, for instance, or the Misonanim, which we also see in our Parsha. Rashi tells us they complained. What did they complain about? Hashem was bringing about a fast pace towards Eretz Yisrael, and they complained, why is he schlepping around so much, so fast? Can't take this pace. The idea of seeing the way that Hashem guides one's life as infringing upon my life, that's a flaw. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying professional, right? All I'm saying is that's what you see from the Torah. So, not right to give anybody any mussar. But that's received in the Torah. That was the fact that they complained about that. Or even in Kivrus HaTava, it's a different thing. Zachanu Sadaga Shachalum B'Mitzrayim. Remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim? Chinam. Chinam? Mitzrayim didn't give them straw. What would be Chinam? Chinam in a mitzvah, says Rashi. Once again, it's a different fashion of, you know, Hashem, you're cramping my style. Right? I'm trying to live life, and you're just making it difficult. You're making it too tough. It's a problem. When they were performing properly, it's Api Hashem Yisu, Api Hashem Yachnu, like the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, that they tailored their reaction to the Rotzon Hashem. Od Modia, says the Or HaChaim, wasn't because they either wanted to stay or wanted to go. This is what Hashem wants. This is what we need to be doing. Fascinating. Now, in the same light, Let's take a look at something the Malbim brings over here. Alpi Hashem Yisu, Modia od Inyan, Acher, Kamo Shekosov be'erevin. Brings down two Gemaras. Gemara in Erevin, and Gemara in Shabbos. And let's just deal with we'll deal with both of them. The Gemara in Erevin talks about the idea that if you have burgenim, you know, little huts, etc., they're clearly there in a very temporary fashion. So then a person measures his tchum, in other words, a person's allowed to travel, right, 2,000 amas outside of his dwelling place. So if we're in a city, so we count from the edge of the city. If we're talking about where things really don't go together, it's very temporary, so each person counts from his own dwelling, from his own house. So these burgenim, these temporary dwellings, each person counts his 2,000 cubits that he can walk on Shabbos outside from his house, not from the entire area. But Gemara Erevin says, how can that be? We know, right, they bring the recall from the Pesukim, we know that the Jewish people were able to travel 2,000 amos, I don't want to get involved in the proof, outside of the entire encampment, but they were just huts, they were just tents. It says the Gemara, Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. Because they were traveling, not according to the beat of their own personal drum, but they, as it were completely given over to traveling to the beat of Hashem's drum, that gave it permanence. It was an act of avodas Hashem. It's not like, you know, we don't know what's going to be, we're temporary, etc. Maybe today we'll change our mind, tomorrow we'll change our mind, etc. No. It's the Ratzon Hashem. There is no other place to be right now. We're not planning to be here and assuming that we're going to go tomorrow or something, because we're only going up to Hashem that gave it permanence. Or the Gemara on Shabbos talks about, according to Rabbi Yossi, that in order for an act of stira, to take apart something that's a destructive, essentially that's a destructive act. And on Shabbos, one is not chayev for destructive acts. Call them a kalkalim p'turim. A person, as it were, does a destructive act. It's not butter on Shabbos, but he's butter because it's destructive. The Suri Shabbos, the Melechas HaShabbos, called Melechas Machsheves, Melechas that are constructive in their very essence. But if you take apart something in order to put it back together, so then we're already on the way of perhaps it's a stir almanas livnos. This is essentially what could have been a destructive act, but since it's for the purpose of constructing something afterwards, so then it has a constructive nature to it, and one is chayev for. Vyosi holds that stira is only chayev if it's almanas livnos b'mukom. If you're going to make something better here, because you've got a building right now, you're taking it apart, so it's got to be a steel mass livnos b'mkomo. Otherwise, this place is left with a destructive event is taking place here. You've taken it apart, and now you're going to move someplace else. That's very fine, but over here, there's no binyan anymore. So the Gemara asks, well, how can he say that? After all, wasn't the Mishkan like that? Whenever they dismantled the encampment, the Mishkan, it was to put it someplace else. They didn't just do it for fun. It was to go someplace else. Answers the Gemara. No. Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. Once again, if Hashem says there's no reason for it to be here, it's not destructive to leave here. There's no purpose of the Mishkan being here anymore. Its only purpose is to be where Hashem says it should be next. This idea, Again, let's follow thread. Follow thread. The Torah was given in the Midbar, Hashem has taught us, because the Torah was given in a place of tohu, in a place of desolation. Because our job description is to bring light to every spot and every event in this world. Every Jew, with his own unique capacity, with his own unique handicaps, with some unique strengths, etc., is meant to bring unique light to every event that he encounters. We said from Balos Chasaneros, as Hashem has once again explained to us, the one, as explained Rashi, you keep your hand there until the fire lights on its own. In other words, this cannot be done. One does not extract the light, at least on its greatest level, through a very perfunctory, rote-like action, but rather one has to invest in it. would have to invest in it. Has to invest his ability to understand as much as he can, his heart, etc. Okay, fine. Then we moved on to the idea of the traveling of the Jewish people. We see this over here, that in the way that they travel through the Midbar, this itself, as the Ora Chaim, and as the Malbim teach us, this idea of they were completely given to being acquiescent to the way Hashem led them around. That's an amazing thing. Right? They were acquiescent to it. When they did err, the Torah points it out, with Mesonim, with Kivros Atava, etc. So now, let's keep on going. In the next parak, we talked about the chatzotzos before, but here's where it's actually mentioned. Chumash, say the chashtei chatzotzos kesef, mikshat ha'aseh osam v'yuluchol mikroa eidol ha'masa esa machanos. Says Rashi, v'shasiluk masos, at the time that it's time for them to travel, tisku behem l'siman nimtzeis ata omer al pi shlosha hayunosim. Three things were the components by which the encampment is now going to travel. The Machane Israel. Alpi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Valpi Moshe, Valpi Chatzotzos. The order was, as we said before, Alpi Hashem, and then the Chatzotzos. First the cloud, Hashem caused the cloud to move, the Anan. Then the Chatzotzos, the blast of the shofar, of the trumpets. And then Moshe, Kuma Hashem. Says the Sfasemis once again. Medrash v'chatzotzos Mishlei brings a pasuk. Yireh es Hashem bni v'melech imshonim al tis'o rov. Fear Hashem bni v'melech, and king, right? Imshonim al tis'o rov, and don't involve yourself with those, as it were, who confuse the issue. Right, who are not dedicated to being, right, an eved to the Melech. Yiroh es Hashem b'ni, stand in Yiroh before the king. And perhaps you'll be a king, the Melech. Again, the word of the Melech is hard to understand. V'amalei HaKadosh Baruch L'Moshe, Melech asisicha, this is in the Medrash. I've made you into a king. Sh'ne'emar v'hi b'shur Melech. Reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma melech kishu yotze token the fun of af ato asel chashtei chatzotzos kesef shivashat shetei yotze umachnis israel token behem behem miskansim shenemer v'toko behen, right, v'no adu elecha. That was really called just a blast of the tekiah alone when gathered the people together to speak with them. Zich asel chashtei chatzotzos kesef zeu sh'omra kosi v'roaz Hashem b'ni v'melech v'imshoni miyongal tisarov umau. Umelech, what is the word v'melech? What does it mean over here? Hamlicheu alecha, make Hashem your king. Yiras Hashem, make him your king. Dovar acher v'melech, hamlech yetzer tov al yetzara. Put your yetzer tov as king over yetzara. Your world view should be one of the yetzer tov and not the yetzara. Shneimar. Voilecha melech gadol v'sivei osag, right, reference to the Yetzara. Ki bevadai, in other words, through Yiram, and you're being mamlich, your Yetzer Tov, it's supposed to be Yetzara, that's a good thing to do. Ki bevadai kol nyani olam hazeh l'chvodo bora. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, as we know from the end of Avos, kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu olam lo bro l'chvodo. Fascinating. Right? The first pshat in the pasuk is that Moshe Rabbeinu is a melech. And then afterwards, the Pirushim and the Medrash are, make your Yetzer Tov a melech, over your Yetzara, etc. Make Hashem the Melech. Who is the Melech? Who is the Melech? Right? Who is the Melech? So really, all the Pirushim are true. If one is mamlek one's yetzer tov or one's yetzer hara, then one is made Hashem into the melech. But the Medrash also told us, then you will become a melech. Is the blowing of the chatzotzros. In other words, the example par excellence of what we spoke about before. And what we spoke about before, we spoke about the idea of the goal of the Jewish people being in the world is to reveal the light out of the darkness. Okay? Davka in the Midbar. We talked about Balotcha Saneros. We talked about the idea of keeping your hand there until the flame rises up. In other words, putting all your kishkis, your mind, your heart, your guts, into the way that you do your mitzvahs until you extract the light, you reveal the light that's there. Then we talked about Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. The Jewish people struggled to, as it were, synchronize their will to that of the Rabbon Shalom. Time to travel, then this is good. This is what Hashem says, this is good. This is what we need to be doing. Time to encamp, this is what Hashem wants, this has to be good. Again, I'm not proper tzikis again. We're just learning the psukim. Then comes the story of the chatzotzos. And now we're introduced to a new idea over here. We're introduced to the idea that by being mamlech Hashem, and the one who does it to the nth degree is Moshe Rabbeinu, he becomes a melech. Vahi bishur melech. Bisasif Rosh Hayam Achad Shivti Yisrael. By being mamlech Hashem, one becomes a melech. One becomes a king. And that's the lesson of the three aspects of the traveling, as Rashi noted before. Remember, Api Shlosha Yunosim, Api Kosh Brochu, Api Moshe, Api Chatzotzos. The fact is really the Chatzotzos came before what Moshe said. But really, if you think about it, there's two acts, as it were, involved in here in their traveling. Hashem's movement of the Anan, and Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Kuma, right, Hashem, V'futzu Evecha, etc. Or V'nucha Yomra, when they came to camp. The Chatzotzros are not a cause, they're a declaration of, do you see what happens when a person is totally given to doing the Ratzon Hashem, to being the Eved Hashem, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, Eved Hashem. Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko, ki Eved Neman Koros Alo. Moshe Rabbeinu is the quintessential Eved Hashem. And therefore, he's a Melech. This is a lesson for all of us. The degree to which we are Mamlech Hashem is the degree to which we become Lachim. Because I'll talk about real Talmidei Chachamim, Man Malchi Rabbanan, who are the real kings, the Rabbanan. Because they are being Mamlech Hashem in everything that they do. They learn and they apply. And as Sasema says, Lezos haya yochel Moshe Rabbeinu yishtamish b'malchus b'olam hazeh ki haya botel legamri l'Hashem yisborach. The degree of bitul to Hashem, he's an Eved Hashem, makes him to a melech. And therefore, these components, Hashem moving the Anan, Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, saying Kuma Hashem, v'futzo yivecha, all of this is testified to by the Chatzotzos. Do you see that when one is totally mamlech Hashem, one himself becomes a melech? In addition, if we look at the words of Vayhi ben Tzoron, Vayomer Shekum Hashem v'futzo yivecha v'yenusu misanecha mikbanecha, and v'nucha yom ha'shuv Hashem, Rivavoth Alfei Yisrael, those words themselves, right? Those words themselves are conveying this message. It says Rashi, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu v'echa v'yinusu misanecha. Eilu sone Yisrael. Shekol sone es Yisrael, sone es misha omer v'haya olam. V'yinusu misanecha mipanecha. Those are the ones who hate Hashem. But says Rashi, who are the ones who hate Hashem? The sone of Hashem. The ones who, as it were, want to drive Hashem out of the world. They're the ones the sone Yisrael. Sone misha omer v'haya olam. שנאמר ומסנך עשו ראש ומיים על עמך ירימו סוד. Those who plot against the Jewish people. Really, they say they hate the Jewish people, but the fact is really what they want to do is they want to drive out Hashem from the world. Hashem, who we know is with us all the time in every event, they don't want to live like that. They don't want to live like that. It's not b'mikra. It's not b'mikra. It's such a... it's so fascinating. I mean, it's scary, but it's so fascinating. Scary, why? Because we don't like changes. But we always knew that when they say they hated Israel and they equated Israel with the Nazis of the 21st century, dirt to their mouths, those who say it. But we always knew that really, they didn't really mean just Israel. They meant Jews. They meant those who were not supporters of Israel also. They meant Satmar also. Just the way they say it, they said Israel. But now it's not hidden anymore. They don't bother saying Israel anymore. Kill the Jews. And now, in particular, why kill the Jews? Because we don't want what the Jews represent in the world anymore. Not just people take up arms. We don't want the Jews in the world. They're bothering us. They're different from us. A Jew, if he's functioning properly, as we saw earlier in the Pasha, he's living on a level of a totally God-centric universe. Every action, every reaction, every act, we march to the beat of the drum of the Torah. That cramps the world's style, whether they want to admit it or they don't want to admit it. No, we'll make up the morality. Woke morality. We'll make up the morality. We can do it. People can do it. See what a good job they do. Changes from day to day, as though the wind blows. So really, as it says, "Umesanecha nasu rosh mihim," says Rashi from Perikin Tilim, Pegimel, "Al amcha yarimu sod." In the words of Ahi ben Tzaharon, are the statement that those who hate the Jewish people really are trying to drive Hashem out of the world. They don't want Hashem in the world on Hashem's terms. They want him there in their terms. On their terms. They can keep him in their pocket. They can pull him out as a talisman when they need it. Really, all the sophistication of today, right? And even the words that I can't even mention them. Yeah, that people say in terms of their morality, they want to keep in their pocket like a little voodoo doll. And Shuvi Hashem, Rivos Alfi Israel. Says Rashi Magishina Shina Shorav Israel Pchusim Mishne Alof Mishte Rivovos. The Shina. Gorari explains that we are like the 22,000, right? Rechav Ribosayim Alfe Shanon. In Shamayim, the Malachim, 22,000. Right. Surround, as it were, the Kisei Kavod, and therefore the minimum for Hashras Shechina down on earth is 22,000. Keneged ze Shechinasa b'Yisrael, says the Gorari. V'ich hayu alavim chaf beizav. That's why the Levim were 22,000. Because they had to create the facsimile of the Malachim around the Kisei Kavod in Shemayim. The Malachim and Shemayim are meant to bring Hashem's will from the world of light in Shemayim down here to the world of darkness. And the job description of the Jewish people is to extract the hidden light of Hashem's will from within the world of darkness and send it back up towards the Shemayim. So embedded in these psukim, which Moshe Rabbeinu used, what he spoke out in his contribution to the passage or the encampment, the traveling and encampment of the Jewish people, speak to the interrelationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. Those who hate the Jewish people really hate Hashem. Hashem, you should vanquish our enemies, because they're really your enemies. Because we're together. We're together. The Jewish people are the vehicle for Hashem's revelation within the world. And the first step is for the Jewish people to recognize that they're after Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the quintessential Eved Hashem, he is, it were, is able to give full expression to this. We blow the chatzotzot for him. You're the king. Vayhi bishurun melech bisasef rosh hayom. You become a king. By becoming an Eved, you become a king. And finally, at the end of the Parsha, when it discusses the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu in the context of how Hashem explains to Miriam and Aaron why it was inappropriate for them to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is a quantum leap from theirs. It's qualitatively different. So first of all, Lahamek Dover explained to us what the yisod of anivus is. Umashmos onav hu she'enu choshesh lechvodo v'tzaro. Remember, Miriam had some criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu. If she had proper criticism, she should have gone directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Until that point, she should have been done on the Kav Zchus. The fact that she went and spoke to Aaron was wrong on her part, etc., etc. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu calls both Miriam and Aaron and explains, states the difference between their nevuah and Moshe Rabbeinu. They thought to equate themselves, but he's on a completely different plane, says Hashem. You can't equate yourself. Bichlal. And in that context, it says, "Va'ish Moshe onav me'od mikol ha'adam asher al pnei adam." He is the most humble. So usually we think of humble as walking around looking like a praying mantis, you know, etc. Now, it could be that a person walks around like that might indeed be humble, but that's not the litmus test of humility. It's not the litmus test of being an onav. The litmus test of an onav is, says the Tziv, El Mashmos Onov, from Isnaig Blichshash Al Kvodo. He's not any lessening of that person's kavod. Sometimes there's kavod Torah involved, etc. But we're not talking about my own personal kavod. That's only important to a person who's living to one degree or another in an egocentric universe. If you're mazalzel, is it where you treat lightly my kavod, so you're destroying the universe. I'm living in an egocentric universe. You're destroying my universe because you're lessening my kavod, and that's the center of everything. Where you take out the fulcrum, the whole thing's gonna fall apart. If you're living in a God-centric universe, so okay. That's not the issue. Again, the time is when it's Kavod HaTorah, etc. And a person has to, as the Gemara teaches us, has to be more makpid. Okay, I don't want to get involved in that right now. But says, continues the Mefarshim, Yisach Moshe, says, this is the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah. Dafkos v'zanivus. As we saw before, but this is the coup de grace. This is Rizochet, this unbelievable nevuah. Because really for Hashem to shower his divine presence upon a person, to give nevuah, is really an incredible act of kov yochal nivus. The part of the Rebbein Shalom. The Mokavish HaTav, Motze Am Vesanusa, where you find his humility, kov yochal the Borei Olam, Hashem HaTav Motze Gdulasa, that's his greatness. Why? Because there isn't, it's all his. Big, small, it's all his, it's all his will. He shows his anivus. And, says the Yisrach Moshe, B'midah sh'adam modeid, kach modeid him lo. A person who conducts himself as an onav, he becomes a magnet for the revelation of Hashem's will. He becomes a navi. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest onav? Ish Moshe onav mikol ha'odam, asher al pnei ha'adamah. He becomes the greatest navi. That Ramchal explains that that's the idea of Aspaklaria Hameira. Moshe Rabbeinu sees Aspaklaria Hameira. He sees through clear glass. The Balmam explains this idea. He differentiates between a Mar'a and a Mar'eh. Moshe Rabbeinu sees a Mar'eh. He sees through the glass. He sees a vision, Kaviyachol. He sees the Ratzon Hashem. That's he sees through the clear glass. A Mar'eh is a mirror, though. All the other Nevi'im have a degree of Mar'eh. They have a degree of mirror. They see something of themselves, depending on how smudged the glass might be. Says those are levels. Aspaklari Hameira, as Ramchal says, a clear glass. Aspaklari Sheina Meira, a non-clear glass, because a non-clear glass, you see a bit of reflection, more reflection of yourself. The person hasn't been able to reach, the other Nevi'im weren't able to reach the Madrega of Anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, they see Aspaklari Sheina Meira, a non-clear glass. They see partially the reflection of themselves. We mentioned before, and we'll close with this, the story they tell. I've heard it about actually two people. I can't remember the second one, maybe the Chosef and the Plin, but the first time I heard it was by Rav Meir Meir Mishlan, one of the Hasidic masters. And he, as was the wont of some Gdolim, then we know the Groy went into a self-imposed golos to wander around without revealing who they were, going from place to place, living in difficulty, etc. Again, that's they had their cheshbonos, the two great holy brothers, Rav Meilech and Rav Zisha, did the same thing. So Rav Meir Meir Mishlan appears did this also. He came to a town, looked like a beggar, and he asked, "Is there a place for a person like me to stay?" Poor person wandered from town to town. They said, "Yeah, there's a yankel. He has like a place, nothing special. But all the poor people go stay by him. They sleep on mattresses, straw mattresses on the floor. He with them. Shalom Yisrael." So he goes there. Remember Pamishlan. He sees the person, incredible machnas horchim, unbelievable, unbelievable. And after he's there for a while, he goes over to this yankel before he leaves. And he says, "I'd like to give you a bracha." Again, yankel don't know who he is, but al tiyad birchos hedja kol beinecha, bracha for many yid. Something that's very precious. He says, "I want to give you a bracha that which you were able to fulfill in penury, you should be able to fulfill in wealth." End of the story. Years later, the Rav Meir Meir Mishlan comes back, but this time not in Golos. He comes back, the great tzaddik, the Rav Meir Meir Mishlan, is coming to this town. He comes in and he asks, "Where is Yankel the Machnas Orchim?" I said, "Yankel, Machnas Orchim? Don't know." Yankel, unbelievable Machnas Orchim. He said, "There is a well-known Yankel in town. I mean, there are lots of Yankels, but the well-known Yankel is Yankel the Compton, the miser. He lives in that palatial estate there on top of the hill, surrounded by a large fence. We don't call him Yankel the Machnas Orchim, baby." So really, he goes there, gets to the gates, the watchman is there, and he says, "We don't accept." He says, "Tell your master that Meir Meir Mishlan is here." Well known, right? Yankel hears, "Oh, Meir Meir Mishlan, oh, right?" He says, please escort the Rebbe in. He comes to the house, and then Yankel looks at him. It's not like people in pictures all the time. He says, "Rebbe! Oh, Rebbe, the bracha you gave me, what a bracha it was. My mazel changed completely. I became wealthy. You see, look around." And Rebbe Meir Mishlan says, "I see." He says, "Rebbe Yankel, come with me for a moment." He says, "Certainly, Rebbe, yeah." They go upstairs. Right? He says, "Look out the window." Looks at the window. "What do you see?" "I don't know. I see it in my car. I'm surrounded by very nice grounds, but I can see also in the distance a park, you know, of sorts, you know, a little grass, etc. People are strolling there." He says, "That's nice. Good. Very good. You see other people. Now come over here." takes him in front of a large gilt mirror. He says, Rabbi, what do you see here? He says, what do I see? What do you mean what I see? Rabbi, what do you see? He says, I see myself, it's a mirror. He says, ah, what's the difference in the mirror and the window? You know the difference is because there's a coating of silver, of kesef, behind the glass of the mirror, and therefore you see a reflection of yourself. Where there's kesef, where there's money, you begin to see only yourself. You don't see your fellow. I thought he was giving you a bracha, but I guess really what I was doing was giving you a call. No, Rabbi! I got it. And he changed. He got the message. One who lives in the God-centric universe, my kavod is not the issue. It's Ribbono Shel Olam's world. He has the ability, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Onav Mikol Adam. Onav Mikol Adam. Onav Mikol Adam. He sees Baspaklaria Hameira. He sees through the clear glass. The other Nevi'im, they see Baspaklaria She'ena Meira. Oh, not clear glass. Smudged. See reflection, etc. And we are struggling to take ourselves away from the mirror. Hashem should give us wisdom. He should give us the heart. He should give us the understanding to realize the struggle and to engage in it as best as we are able to do, each person according to their strengths, each person according to his weaknesses, right? It's all tailor-made. And the more that we are successful in this endeavor, the more we'll be worthy to be the vehicle for revealing Hashem's presence in the world. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Jewish people, those who hate the Jewish people really hate Hashem. We ask Hashem, Kuma Hashem, v'yafutza yivecha, v'yanusa misanecha mipanecha. May we see it speedily in our days that Hashem should rise up against those who hate the Jewish people because they really hate Hashem. He should scatter them. He should humiliate them. They should flee from before the vehicle for revealing Hashem's presence to the world, i.e. the Jewish people. And Hashem should cause Hashem rivavos alfi Israel. He should cause his Holy Shekhinah once again to rest upon us. Right? Lo ol mayad. Have a good Shabbos.